Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Steve's Pet Store, it's gone. Foxes, gone. El Patron, gone. Everything in this neighborhood. Altadena is not existing right now.
I know more people in the Palisades, I've lived here my whole life, that have lost their homes than that still have their homes.
Most of the other areas you drive through, it's kind of a shock if you do see a structure intact.
I mean, this was horrific, and they're still trying to rebuild. Here's what the governor of California and Mayor Bass have to say 1 year later.
Costliest wildfire event in American history. Where are we at in the recovery effort?
We've made tremendous progress, the fastest debris removal in American history, at least modern American history, in 6 months.
People are still out of their homes. Mm. It doesn't make anybody feel wonderful for me to sit here and tell you that this is one of the fastest recovery and rebuilding efforts that the state of California has ever seen. And I'm proud of that.
Brian Ping is with us. He's a St. Louis native and an anchor and reporter for KNX Radio in Los Angeles. And he was our chief correspondent a year ago. I can't believe it's been a year already, but you were so awesome describing all this. I was, as you might remember, just completely captivated by what was going on because the visuals were so stunning. But Brian, Happy New Year. How are you?
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Mark. I'm doing well, thank you. And yeah, hard to believe a whole year has passed since that horrific time.
Is what Gavin Newsom said there true, that it was, you know, basically the biggest debris removal process in American history? Is there a fair amount of truth to that or not?
Yeah, there's not much evidence to refute that, but I mean, that only tells part of the story here, because yeah, you get rid of the toxic ash, you get rid of the debris, okay, but then there's the entire process of rebuilding all those gaps, and all those gaps are still standing, and there's a permitting issue here. And we lost about 13,000 homes total from these fires, and they've only issued permits to rebuild for about one-fifth of those properties. So the process of doing that, you can say what you will about the cleanup, but getting back to any sense of normalcy is very slow going. You know, this could be a scar that lasts for years and years.
So I saw a story in the LA Times this week that said that there are a lot of outside investors that are moving in and dominating the market, trying to buy some of this property and maybe, you know, some of the existing buildings. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I did a report on this yesterday, actually, talking about these are mostly mid-sized investors, speculative LLCs that are coming up and scooping up some of these properties. And I understand as many as 40 to 45% of these distressed properties that are being sold are going to these types of investors. We're not talking about, you know, the likes of BlackRock, the big Wall Street firms that the president is targeting, but it's more of the, and we're not talking about mom and pop either, that are, you know, one investment property. It's kind of somewhere in the middle. So those are the institutions that are coming and buying these homes, because for a lot of these folks, they just want to be done with it. They're going through so much stress right now. They don't really have the know-how to navigate, in some cases, this sort of market, especially under these extreme circumstances. So they just want to be done. In many cases, they're being lowballed, and they just feel they have no choice but to take that offer.
Unbelievable. The other narrative that I've seen sort of emerge in the past week, just curious about your opinion on this, is, you know, I think a lot of the focus was on the Palisades, and maybe that's a better-known area, but my understanding is the folks in Altadena have had really challenges, and they kind of feel like they're forgotten.
Yeah, it's really sad, because in the Palisades, a lot, not everybody, but a lot of people, they have the means to fight City Hall, fight the insurance companies, because in many cases, the payouts aren't matching the, you know, what it costs to build a home nowadays. But Altadena, you just don't have that. You don't have the wealth that you do in the Palisades. Yeah. And so in a way, it's kind of a gentrification by fire, in a way, because you never know. We could see whole-scale permanent change to who lives there. Sad story there, for sure. It's just a lot more difficult when, you know, you're up against those odds. And, you know, for a lot of these folks who had been in those homes for decades, sadly, they won't be coming back.
So the LA Times reported on this last week, Brian Ping. Brian Ping's with us, St. Louis native, KNX Radio in Los Angeles. They found some text messages that indicated that firefighters who put out what is called the Lockman Fire were ordered to leave before the fire was completely out. They say they knew it was a bad idea. They knew the Palisades Fire, which sprung back a week later, was a rekindle. So they basically say in this story that firefighters mopping up a small brush fire that authorities say reignited as the Palisades Fire 5 days later were ordered to leave the original burn scene, even though they complained the ground was still smoldering and rocks remained hot to the touch, according to firefighter text messages reviewed by the Times. To their surprise, the battalion chief ordered them to roll up their hoses and pull out of the area on January 2nd, the day after the 8-acre blaze was declared contained, rather than stay and make sure there were no hidden embers that could spark a new fire. That is rather stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a big controversy. There was a rally among angry residents in the Palisades yesterday about this, including Spencer Pratt, the reality star who announced he's running for mayor. He's been kind of front and center as far as a public face rallying against this. And yeah, it's something that demands an investigation, a further look at. And we've had the after action report by the fire department, but yeah, heavily edited. A lot of stuff may have been omitted, left out of that, as far as people seeking answers as to why they decided to just let that go. And it's a real mystery, and it's a big point of contention right now.
So, I for nights and nights would watch some of the Fox coverage. They have their Fox News channel outside of the main Fox that picked up some of the California, anchors and some of the reporting. And I was really, really captivated by this. But it was such a dry season, and it was just a powder keg because of that. But you guys have had, exactly the opposite the last 2 months, nonstop. When I saw them cleaning off the rain from the Rose Bowl last week, I'd never seen that much rain in Pasadena or Los Angeles in my life.
At this time of the fire season, well, I should say the rain year. The rain year begins October 1st, like the fiscal year for rain. It runs from October 1st to September 30th. Since October 1st last year when the fires hit, we had received 1/16 of an inch of rain.
Oh,
less than 2/10 of an inch. That's
wow.
It in Los Angeles. So conditions are ripe. You have extremely dry ground where we hadn't gotten any measurable rainfall since the previous May, combined with these winds that got hellishly strong at the worst point. Reports that they got up to about 100 miles an hour. So if you take something like, say, the Lockman Fire or live lines that might have been down, recipe for disaster. Of course, as you mentioned, this year, completely different story. We've gotten, I believe, one of the rainiest starts to a rain year that we've ever had. It's just a night and day difference. It really is something.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that's what happens in the Los Angeles area. Are you geared up for two playoff teams playing there at SoFi in the next few weeks with the Chargers and the Rams, although they don't all play at home, obviously, but you got both teams in the playoffs, Brian Ping.
Yeah, it seems like, right now, it seems like we got to see how things go with the Chargers because that's a beat-up team. And Justin Herbert, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, has no protection to speak of. And that's a team that looks to be trending down. They might be a bit exhausted. Maybe they turn it on against the Patriots team that's a bit untested. Drake May is great, but we'll have to see how he handles the pressure of the playoffs. And, the Rams are on a roll right now. And, they get set for their first playoff game against Carolina. That's a very winnable game. That's a team that could go on a run.
I like the matchups. I'm not very happy that, the Chiefs aren't in. I'm a big Packers fan. I'm a little worried about the Bears. I can't even believe I'm saying that. But I like the matchups for this weekend. I like the fact that we have football on tonight as well, Brian Ping. I hope all is well. Did you make it home for the holidays? I think you did, right?
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
I did a brief trip. In between my work days. I got to spend several days with the family. It was really nice.
Well, I was going to try to reach out.
I like the warm weather that we had there for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
We actually went to the zoo that one day, me and all the kids, that Sunday where it dropped down to, 25 that night. So we got it while we could.
Yeah, but since then, we've had so many days, like the last couple of days. Today was a little gloomy and rainy, but we had, maybe upper 60s. Tuesday was like upper 60s, wasn't it, Sue? Yeah, it was really
Midwestern
nice.
Midwestern winter, man. What can I say?
Yeah, I love climate change. That's what I'll say. Brian Ping, awesome. Happy New Year. Thank you, sir.
Get more at 971talk.com.